So we have here, we're talking, we're, you know, it's December, it's Christmas time. To set the scene, Joseph and Mary, they're in Bethlehem because of the census. There's the manger, there's Jesus born, and first on the scene are the shepherds. So we're going to talk about the shepherds today. Verse 8, you have your Bibles? Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick up verse 8. Yeah? We got it on the screen? Praise the Lord. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Who would love to get the radiance of the Lord's glory around you? Doesn't that sound awesome? They were terrified. This is the next verse. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly. Turn your name and say, snugly. I was reminded, Mana, I was reminded that your first Sunday here is when I had that big blanket. And I just threw it on you, and I just, like, I snuggled it on you, and I just thought to myself, this woman's never going to come back to this church. That was so weird. Look at her now. Praise the Lord. That's the snuggly grace of God right there. And you'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Come on, somebody. The gospel is astonishing. Don't ever forget that. Like, this gospel good news of God coming to be with man to take on the heaviness and the payment for our sins so that we could walk in forgiveness, that's astonishing. Like, there's all kinds of astonishing facets of our faith. The gospel is astonishing enough. And it says, but Mary, she kept these things in her heart. She thought about them often, but the shepherds afterwards, they went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and that they'd seen, and it was just as the angel had told them. All right, we're going to pray. Ready to pray? Awesome. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and I just thank you, God, for this time, this gathering of your saints. I know for all of us, it probably looks like kind of a very natural thing. But Lord, help us to be reminded that this is a supernatural thing. This is holy ground. This is a spirit-filled place. There is a collection of, Lord, the followers of Jesus that are here, and that when we're gathered together, brothers and sisters in Christ, man, this is a holy time. So let the word not return void, but let there be a harvest of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish in our short time together. Let there be grace for people who need grace. Let there be an eye-opening where, Lord, revelation needs to happen. Let there be forgiveness for people. Let us walk in your will and in your ways today. For people that whose countenance needs to be lifted, Holy Spirit, I pray you would lift it. Lord, for people who need hope, I pray that you'd pour it out. For people needing encouragement, Lord, give it. Let the lost be found today. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Before you grab your seat, just turn to someone that you like and say, if you were any better looking, I'd kiss you on the face. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Thanks. Yep. Oh, man. I have fun up here. Luke! Yep, there it is. How are you, church? Are you excited for this week? Are you? Are you excited for today? Are you excited for the Bills-Cowboys game? Anybody? Okay, I'm excited. It's going to be a big week. Hopefully you guys are talking about this weekend, Christmas weekend. Hello, is this your mom? Hello. Have we met before? No. Well, it's an honor to meet you. Your daughter's awesome. So good. And I love the coat. Praise the Lord. Game recognized game, you know? Normally, I look cool. I'm just going to throw that out there. Thank you. But it's ugly sweater Sunday. I forgot about that, and at our other campus service started, and I looked at the run sheet, and it was just like, ugly Sunday. I was like, ugly Sunday? Stand up if you think you're ugly. Praise the Lord. Ugly sweater Sunday. Let's hop into the Word. Speaking of ugly, these shepherds, man, they were probably ugly. No, but to talk serious, these shepherds in this time, they would have had a reputation. They were considered people of ill repute. You know anybody like that? Some scholars would, that's a nice phrase, isn't it? People of ill repute. They had a bad reputation. Is that a song? These were people who were, some scholars would have said they were nomadic. They were, as a matter of fact, did you know that in this time, a shepherd's testimony would be inadmissible in the courts during this time? If they weren't nomadic, locally, it would have been a position that would have reserved not for the firstborn, but for most likely the lastborn. As a matter of fact, we see that, right? It's like, hey, do you have any other sons of Jesse? Well, there's David right out there, and yeah, but he's tending to the sheep, which is ironic because Bethlehem, right? City of David, right? You're talking about that, Jerusalem. And so then they're so close to each other. Bethlehem and Jerusalem were only miles apart. And so they could have been nomadic, but also some scholars believe that because of their proximity on the hills right outside of Jerusalem, that these would have been the shepherds and these would have been the sheep that would have been reserved for the annual atonement, the time whereby the people of God would travel from their hometowns to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice for the atonement of sins annually, which they did. We know as Christians in the new covenant, Jesus Christ was our perfect ewe lamb who was our forever atonement for our sin. Can I get an amen? And yet, so in these days, what's ironic is that you have these shepherds, they're dirty, they're of ill repute, they were not, like they were looked down upon, they were frowned upon, and, you know, they weren't the firstborn, they weren't the esteemed, they were the outcasts even. As a matter of fact, you know what's crazy to think about is that these shepherds, little known fact, some scholars actually believe these could have been women, because in the Old Testament, believe it or not, this was a role that often went to women, so there was a lot of examples in your Bible of women shepherds. And so you never see that in the nativity scene, do you? But these were considered unclean people. And yet, they were responsible for caring for the thing that made the unclean people of God become clean. And so these lambs were considered perfect, unblemished, clean lambs, and yet they were held responsible by unclean people. Welcome to religion, everybody. And so what I love is last week we talked about the magi, we talked about the wise men. You know, somebody affectionately said, great word, Pastor, last week when you talked about wizards and tricks. Praise God. I got no laughs at Glen Allen, by the way. And now we're going to be talking about these shepherds. We talk about these wise men. They had it. They had gifts. They had gold. They were pagans, and yet God led them to use them for the glory of God. We have that group of people that are part of the gospel story, and then here we have people who were left out of the people of God and yet responsible for helping the people of God, like religiously. It's kind of wild, and yet somehow, some way, God orchestrates that they would be at the very beginning of this Christmas story. So let's talk about it. I just have a few observations from them, from their life, that I think might hopefully speak to us, resonate with you on some level. The first thing I want to talk about is that they received before they were reassured. They received before they were reassured. It says in verse 8, there were shepherds, they were in the field, guarding their flocks. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. So what did they receive first? They received the glory of the light of heaven from the angels. It surrounded them, and yet they were terrified. I love that the Bible is very honest that these people were freaked out. Amen. Come on, how many people in your Christian life have found yourself freaked out in God? Anybody? Just freaked out, like just terrified, right? It happens. They received the glory of God to see the newborn Messiah, and God was going to give them a message, but you know what's wild to me? Is that God chose to freak them out first. Like, who's ever been freaked out before you got the message? Remember, like, as a kid, like, your parents would be like, hey, listen, I need you to sit down. We need to talk about some things. Who would get freaked out, just triggered right now? You're thinking about it, like, ah. How many people, you know what I'm saying, like, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, like, they send you a text, and they're like, we need to talk. Is there a scarier text out there? You know what that means, right, Cole? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I said that. Just Kelly wasn't here. I just thought y'all broke up. My heart is overjoyed that you're getting married. Praise the Lord. You gonna get married in Hawaii or Virginia? Cool. Okay, I guess I'll do your wedding. No. But God had a message for them. And what's crazy to think about this is that we know that they were freaked out. We know angels can come in the form of man. But yet they did it deliberately. Why? They came in a form that would have freaked them out. They came in their full angelic glory, which I don't want to get into, but it's kind of freaky. Turn your neighbor, it's kind of freaky. And so what's wild is that God was cool with scaring these shepherds. What is he trying to show us? Here's something to take note. Living for God will terrify you sometimes. I'm going to just be real. I don't know if you ever thought about this. Here's the truth. Living for God will scare you sometimes. They're actually like, oh, I just want to be in the glory of the Lord. And you have someone leading you worship, and they're barefooted, and they've got beads and a flowy dress. Yeah, that sounds awesome. But also, the glory of God will freak you out, if we had to be honest. And any and every time where I have stepped into what the call of God is in my life, I want to tell you, in every big thing like that, it has freaked me out. When my wife and I, we first moved to Richmond from Virginia Beach was all I had ever known. It was all where my family, it was where all of my friends were. And I'm going to be real, stepping up, answering the call of God to come to the 804, my goodness, we were kind of terrified. When I knew she was going to be my wife, there was a peace on some level on my heart, but yet there was still this, like, freaking out, like, okay, I hope she says yes. And so when I was going to go propose to her, like, I was kind of terrified. How'd you do it? How'd you propose? On the beach. What else? Tell me more. I love a good proposal story. What else happened? Oh, you dog. Just wait for the right time. You beautiful man. There was a sign? Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Way to throw her off the scent. I like that. Smooth. Fake sign. Get her up here. Bring her back down. Lift her back up. Come on, man. Yes. First time I had my kid, terrified. Don't want anybody with kids in here? Remember what it was like that first one? You're like, I don't know what to do here. And then you change that diaper, the first one. I don't know, has anyone ever changed a newborn baby's diaper? They don't prepare you for that. We would love for you to serve in Wave Kids, by the way. I hate to break it to you, but sometimes serving the Lord will terrify you. And the truth is, though, that honestly, the things that terrify us the most, if we had to be honest, like, they're often the very things that God is calling us to. That the good stuff in our life actually brings with it a certain level of fear and of terror. Here's what's wild. You know what? Here's what I believe. God uses fear to bring us closer to faith. I actually believe this, that God sometimes will use our fear to bring us to a place of faith. Now, I didn't say that God gives you fear, because we know the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? But I believe that God uses fear to bring us for a place of faith in his purposes. And I want to talk about something, and I want to talk about the fear of the Lord right now. And this might seem a little heady. I hope I don't lose you, but But I feel like the Holy Spirit really impressed upon me last night to want to talk about this, that the fear of the Lord and the grace of God are inextricably linked. The fear of the Lord and the grace of God are inextricably linked. That the very first moment of seeing the glory of God with these shepherds, the first feeling felt was fear. What were they actually afraid of? The light of the glory of God and of the angels. Now, what's crazy is when you are young, you are scared of the dark. Anybody still scared of the dark? Like just a little bit. Yes, honest people. Yes, fellas, it's all good. I love that. It's like, yeah, I am. You too, lift your hand up. Yeah, I love that. When you're younger, you're scared of the dark, and you turn the light on, and you become comforted. These shepherds were, the Bible says, in the nighttime. And then the light came on, and then they became scared. So they were in the darkness of night, and yet it wasn't until the light of God came on that they first felt fear. Okay. When God turns the light on, that's scary because it's us being introduced to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the Lord in his glory is kind of scary. The Lord in his holiness is kind of scary. The Lord in his perfectness is kind of scary. The Lord in his majesty is kind of scary. But living in the dark is way scarier. Because when you live in the dark, you do not have the fear of God, and it means you are living outside of the grace of God. It's actually a holy thing, a godly thing, to have a sense of the fear of the Lord. And so for these shepherds, the very first moment, the onset of being revealed to them, whoa, my God, the angels, the glory, the Messiah is here, and they're terrified. And God will reassure them, but he sought to them, you will know the fear of the Lord first. We see there in the very beginning account of creation, Adam and Eve, and the Bible talks about that Adam and Eve, they walked with the full display of the glory of God. They walked with God in Eden. And it shone, and it was glorified, and it was on full display, and they walked in the love and the perfectness with God, and it was awesome until one day, the glory and the light of God showed up, but they did not walk with him. That day was different. Why? Because things were different now. They thought to themselves, hold up, like, Why do we keep doing what God wants us to do? Hold on. Why do we keep listening to God? Why do we feel like we're gonna let God tell us what we can and can't do? Let's take a bite of this tree. Let's be our own boss and let's run our own lives. Let's do what we want to do. And they ate. And they became ashamed. And the Bible says that Adam says that it was the first time, and he says, I'm afraid, but I want to propose to you that it was lip service, because I actually believe the reason why they ate is because they had lost their fear of God. It was actually the loss of the fear of God that led them to take a bite. The shame is that they thought they could hide from God. I want to tell you something right now, friends. Step into the light. The call of God on your life that probably terrifies you so much is this: hide no more. Hide no more, friends. Step into the light. Because when you live in the light of God, man, it is so much better. It's scary because living in the light of God reveals to you your uncleanliness. It's scary because when you step into the light of God, it reveals to you your own pride and self-righteousness. When you step into the light of God, it reveals to you how you're not perfect. And when you step into the light of God, it reveals to you that, if I had to be honest, yeah, my nature really is still pretty, really sinful. You know that, right? Our identity is that of saints And yet the truth is, we know we are sinful people still. Facts? Come on, when you used to get called into your principal's office, who got that knot in the pit of your stomach? When you would get called, if you ever get called into your boss's office, ooh, anybody else just get a little freaked out? You ever get pulled over and they ask you, do you know why I pulled you over? And you think to yourself, well, I done messed up like 5 different times. Which one did you catch me doing? Because we know. We have this under, we know we're sinful. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This fear of the Lord, man, it actually causes you, it should cause you not to hide from God. It should cause you to step into the light, because guess what? The fear of the Lord is the realization that you are not enough. That you are a creature, that you're not in control, that you need a Savior, that you cannot save yourself, that you cannot fix yourself, that you cannot turn this around on your own. You can't hold that ball down in the water, but for so long, the understanding is this, the fear of the Lord understands that I need the grace of God. And you've never truly understood the fullness of the grace of God until you still have the fear of the Lord on the inside. You know that song, Amazing Grace? It's a banger. Manny, how's it go? Do you know it? Do you know it? I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't know it. Do you know it? Can you sing the chorus for me one time and we'll join in? Who knows the chorus? Trey, please lead us. We'll join in. Give yourself a round of applause. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful moment. Here's what I learned today. Manny doesn't know what great that song. He don't know that song. He said, nah, I don't know that song. The verse that I want to point you to in this iconic song, the chorus talks about that. A wretch like me. And the I think it's the very first verse of Amazing Grace is this. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. See, there is a duality to the revelation of grace. And we focus almost exclusively, 'twas grace that relieved my fears, but actually that's the second line. The true revelation of grace is the first line. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And you truly are introduced to the truth of grace when you understand I am inadequate. I am insufficient. And your fears will never be relieved until the light of the grace of God has been turned on for you. And it is this, the light of the grace of God, that the light that you are called to step into is this realization that you don't have to shoulder the burden of your sin. You don't have to be perfect. Because there's only ever been one that was. His name is Jesus. Your fear of judgment can be relieved because grace has come into this world. It has put on flesh and it has a name. You'll never have your fears relieved until you get the fear of the Lord and the grace of God working in your life. So stop trying to carry the burden yourself. Step into the light. Repent of your sins. It's a scary phrase. I have someone in my life that has, as of late, been challenging me. Kino? You should be regularly repenting of your sins. And I was like, yeah, 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 I know that. He says, no, no, you don't know it. You should be regularly repenting of your sins. Do you know why? Because until you do, you're saying to God, I can do this. You're saying to God, I got it. I know what I'm doing. You're saying to God, Lord, I don't need your forgiveness. I can forgive myself. And in a more graceful way, when you repent to God, you're letting him do what only he can do. Bring real forgiveness into your heart. That's not your job. That's God's job. So repent. Step into the light. And let him terrify you a little bit. Here's the good news. They're terrified, but then they are reassured. In verse 10, it says, the angel reassured them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I know I literally was just telling you, repent, and that probably freaked you out. But be reminded, when you truly get the grace of God, it's understanding, I'm going to be forgiven. I don't have to shoulder this heavy burden of the sin, of the weight of my shame. Let it go. I don't understand why we don't repent more. It's like, it feels so good to repent. And so the good news is not that we serve a God of judgment. No, the good news is that God has come in our midst and says, you don't have to carry it anymore. I have come that your burden may be light, that your yoke may be easy, that you may find freedom in the name and in the power and in the presence of Jesus. It's good news. I don't know what you're terrified about right now, but can I tell you something? This is a good news season. Be reassured. I remember when Megan and I, we found out that she was going to be pregnant again. Did y'all hear we're expecting baby number 4? Holler. Cole, Helen. Did you hear? Prego, number 4, dog. I think it's going to be a boy. It's okay to amen that. Yeah, I've got 3 girls. It's really okay to amen that. I've shared, I don't know, this is probably totally not appropriate. So I won't say it. Yeah, stop. Just cut yourself off. Okay, got it. Lead myself. Good. Can I tell you, when she found out she was pregnant, we had an angelic visitation moment. We were terrified. But then it was like the Holy Spirit came and spoke to her and spoke to me and reminded us, this is good news. This is good news. Here's what you need to know. Don't let fear be the final word over your situation. Don't let fear be the final word of your situation. Because if fear would have been the final word over the shepherd situation, glory, angels show up, they run. Like, can you imagine? And they're never in the scene ever again. And the angels are like, God, you thought these were the ones. Right? But fear wasn't the final story for them. No, no, no. They let God reassure them. Do not be afraid. Okay? I don't know what you're terrified about in this season. I don't know if the bills ain't adding up. I don't know if the gifts aren't under the tree. I don't know what's stirring on the inside. I don't know if there's a sense of heaviness that's approaching you like an albatross of weight. I don't know, okay? But do not let the fear of that be the final word. We serve a God who wants to remind you there's good news for you in this season. And don't let it end in fear. No, no, no. He wants to reassure you there's more ahead of you than behind you. Okay, there is a goodness in store if you do not grow weary of doing good. So the next thing, they responded with confidence. The shepherds, what I like about them is here's what it says. It says, the angels showed up, the armies of heaven showed up. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, after they heard the fact that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem in this moment, in this time, you know what they said? You know what they said? They didn't say, well, you think that was real? What do you think? No. They said, let us go now. He said, let us go see this thing that has happened. They said, it has happened. It has. They didn't say, if it's happened, let's go see it. He says, because the Lord said it, it is done, let us go. That's the kind of faith that we are called to have. Right? This sense of immediate obedience. Right? You learn this as a parent. Delayed obedience. Disobedience. This is for the parents. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And what I love about them is that, man, they weren't conflicted. They won't see, let's go see it later. They hurried. They said, we got to go. And they said, listen, they didn't think about what the word of the Lord was. And they said, well, if it's true, then we'll go. We need that kind of faith. So maybe you're facing a health challenge. Don't let your confession be, well, if I'm healed, well, then I'll give God praise. No. Take God at his word. Don't think to yourself, if you're having financial difficulty right now, don't think, well, if God wants to bless me, well, then maybe I'll step up and step out and be generous. No. The word of the Lord says you are blessed to be a blessing. The word of the Lord says, I've called you to be above only and not beneath. I've called you to be the head and not the tail. So friends, stop letting your experiences determine the level of your faith. Start letting your faith determine the level of your experiences. And so what I love about the faith of the shepherds is they didn't say, well, if it's true, well, if it happens. No, you need to get the if out. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get the if out. You need to get the if out. In your confession, you need to say, Lord God, if you said it, I'm going to obey. If you said it, I'm going to go. If you've called me, I'm going to step up. Lord, if you said it, then I can claim it. If you said by your stripes, I can be healed, then I'm walking not in faith, not in fear, rather. I'm knocking not in anxiety. I am going to walk in trust and assurance that my God, you're a healer. My God, you're a savior. My God, you're abundant. My God, you're a deliverer. My God, you know the number of hairs on my head. My God, you are the one who lifts up the countenance of my spirit. My God. God, you are the one that says that the end is not going to be the end on this side of eternity. There is more. There is more. There's the gospel. There's the good news. And you may be terrified right now. You may be afraid to step into the light. My God, but can I tell you, there is good news. There's more. There's so much good ahead for you. Next thing I love about the shepherds, they retold the reason for the season. Retold the reason for the season. In verse 17, we see that after seeing him being Jesus, what does it say? The shepherds told everyone what had happened. See, what had happened was God came in the flesh. And what the angel had said to them about this child, they spread the word and they told everybody. Guys, I have a renewed spiritual ravenous about this truth. I have a renewed spiritual hunger for this being a marker on us as the people of God for this next year than I ever have before. Because the shepherds, they heard it, but they didn't just hear it and let it stay. They heard it and said, I gotta tell everybody. I gotta tell everybody. There's a guy in our church who is he's a cool dude. His name is Frank Romero. Just sounds like a PA. There's people laughing, so I won't tell you what that stands for. Tatted up. He's a photographer. He goes to a bunch of these shows of these major rock bands across the countries and takes these amazing photos, and he's a firefighter. He's got multiple businesses that he started, just punk rock. And he started coming to our church a few months ago. And he radically has been saved. He's someone who would have called himself anti-God before that. And he got himself in the house of the Lord somehow, some way. And for the first month of coming, he'd hear the gospel and he would storm out, be the first one to leave in tears. And he's like, I don't want to be here, man. I don't know why, but I keep crying in this church. I said, man, it's nothing about us, man. That's the Holy Spirit trying to do something in your life. And his content on all of his accounts would have been about a certain thing and who he is, right? And then out of the blue, one day, he puts out a post that's just like, man, love my church. Tagged Wave RVA. That was it, one post. And suddenly, this guy that he grew up with when he was younger reached out to him. He's like, what is this? Because he knew him. What is this? And the guy says, man, I've just started coming to church, and Jesus has gotten a hold of my life, man. Twist turned my life upside down. And ever since then, him and this guy that he grew up with, they've been talking about Jesus every day. They've just been talking about Jesus. And now this guy says, I'm coming to your church. I'm going to your church next week. I want to be there. What is that? An encounter with God, a real encounter with God. If you have been saved, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Guys, if I lose my wallet and I find it, I tell everybody. If you know what I'm talking about? You lose your phone and you find it and be like, yo, I got it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A true encounter with the Lord, I believe this, it genuinely leads you to telling other people about God. You don't go through this Christmas season, I pray that you're not just celebrating the celebration. I pray that you're celebrating the Savior. Christ is our Savior. Amen. And my last point, really quick, worship team, you can come on back, is that the shepherds rejoiced in the birth of Christ. Verse 20, the shepherds, they went back to their flocks. Because by the way, I also believe this, that when God gets a hold of you, he's not just going to teleport you out of your situation. Oh, I've been saved now. Now I just get to peace out. I'm out of this mess and this muck and these people and this. I just think now God's going to use you to redeem where you came from. And so he sent them back to their flocks. But what I love about them is that, man, their whole countenance changed. Now they were glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen. Everything about them changed and how they started living their life and how they went back. It's like Trey and Manny, these two shepherds, they get saved and they're walking back. And Trey's like, hey, Manny, you know that song, Amazing Grace? And Manny's like, no. And Trey's like, listen, let me lead you in this. And their entire walk back to the hills is just singing. Just isn't God good? How awesome is the Lord? Wow, the Messiah's here. In this season, I'm not saying, be a phony. I'm not saying, like, man, just put on a face. But what I am saying is, this is a season where we should be glorifying God. And this is a season where we should be praising God. This is a season where we should be praising God, okay? And so if your entire outlook of your season is, man, I'm stressed, or man, I'm worried, or man, and travel is hard, and ticket prices, and gas, and milk, and interest rates, and man, I didn't get the thing. I asked for this jersey, but mom said it's sold out. That's not who you're called to be. Let this be a season for you, followers of Jesus, where you say, God, thank you that you came and you dwelt amongst your people. You've saved a wretch like me, that you've called me into your light, God, that you've given me a fresh start, that you didn't call me to carry all of this shame by myself. But God, you said that if I give it to you, you in exchange will give me your mercy. You will give me your grace. You will give me forgiveness. You will give me a fresh start. Lord, help me. And the faithfulness of God is he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Friends, might today be your day to really glorify and praise him in a way that you never have. If you receive the word, can we give God some praise this morning?